Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. We are presented by Bosque Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200 for service. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. I'm joined in studio for the second time in my illustrious ABQ Connect career by Carla Sontag. She's the president of the New Mexico Business Coalition. Hi, Carla.
Hi.
I told you I'm going to just keep asking you to come back.
Well, I love it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite stations.
Well, it is really fun to talk with you, but we were talking before we started that the fact that I put together some topics and things, sometimes things changed in the landscape politically and business-wise in New Mexico that it's useless to do this a week in advance.
Yeah, that's true. It can change fast.
Yeah. I want to tell everybody about the New Mexico Business Coalition. You established it in 2009. You're the founder and the president. The New Mexico Business Coalition is a nonpartisan voice for business owners, employees, and individuals in New Mexico. Created and staffed by native New Mexicans, we believe our state can do much better than current national rankings. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
And you're an advocate for all businesses and all individuals. Yeah, we just continue to be at the top of every bad list and the bottom of every good, and you're fighting to make sure that that changes. I wanted to start right away because unemployment is going to be a large portion of our program today, unemployment insurance. I'm going to ask you to explain how that even works in our state. But before I do that, were you surprised by the resignation of the Department of Workforce Solutions Secretary Bill McCamley?
I really wasn't. That was a challenging position for him from the beginning. And then with the pandemic, it kind of snowballed in a very bad way. And it was difficult both for employers and employees to get through to that department. People were not getting the service that they needed. And he seemed always unable to stay on top of that.
Well, and of course, nobody did a great job of handling COVID. But Carla, what I want all of our listeners to think about is there was some legislation. One of the few things that I basically said, hey, our representatives are working together. Last year in the legislature, of course, people remember that COVID became a big deal toward the 1st of March. Mm-hmm. And really a panic by mid-March and everything shut down.
Right.
Well, the legislative session had just ended. But before it ended, they made a deal that said, look, I bet you a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. Unemployment coffers, the taxes that have been collected to help people when they are let go, we anticipate those might be drained. And I'm going to again have you explain the system to us, but they came up with a bill that said, we're not going to put this on New Mexico businesses. We're not going to increase taxes next year when we hope COVID is gone. But that's not what happened.
That's right. So as soon as the governor ordered businesses closed down, we, the business coalition, immediately asked her, can we get a plan to reopen? We've got to be talking about this and figuring out how we're going to reopen. Secondly, please don't hold business accountable for the massive layoffs that they're encountering right now, because this was not their choice. This was a mandate by the health orders. So when they brought in a special session in June, and I actually wrote the legislation that got passed to protect employers from the unemployment insurance skyrocketing as we anticipated. Mm. It's a complicated formula, but basically it takes into account for 3 years the experience that an employer has. So if you have a layoff today, it's going to count against your record for 3 years. Well, imagine if you have a complete layoff of all employees because of the pandemic, and that rate increases so significantly, and it follows you for 3 years. How do you ever come back from being shut down? And that's why we went to the legislature, and in June they passed the law that we wrote, holding business harmless. Governor signed it in July, and it went into effect. Unfortunately, that was not followed by Workforce Solutions, and charges were charged back to employers.
So the state starts reopening. And you start to notice people are being unfairly taxed for unemployment insurance which is contrary to the law that you presented to our legislative representatives, and they very almost unanimously accepted.
Yes. Yes, and so we have seen rate increases, some minimal, some 500 to 1,200% increases on their unemployment insurance. Can you imagine what that means to an employer that is just now trying to come back from having been shut down partially or completely for a year to face those kind of tax increases? And it's not fair, and it violates the law they passed.
We were talking a little bit off air when you first came in today, and you went through a little process, which I said was really sounded like a biblical process. You noticed this, and you let the powers that be with the state of New Mexico know. Can you give us a general idea of what you did and the action you took?
Yeah, the first thing that we did, as soon as I noticed that we were seeing rate increases, I notified McCamley that he was in violation of the law. Then we didn't get a good response, really nothing. And so I gathered other friends that were in the industry also encountering this. We had 9 signatories and sent him a letter in writing saying, you're in violation of the law. Can we get this fixed? Because people are getting these horrendous increases in their taxes and they shouldn't be. That still went nowhere. So I notified the governor in March. No reply from her other than she got it, but took no action. So in early April, I notified the state auditor. I spoke with him. He started an investigation or a review. I notified him and the attorney general together in another letter a week later at his request. And 2 days after that formal notification, McCamley resigned.
I'm shocked that people don't realize, and this is, I'm going to look at this from two perspectives. If you're a business owner in New Mexico, you need to be part of the New Mexico Business Coalition.
Yes.
Because Carla's sticking up for you, and she's on top of this. She's having conversations with business owners, it sounds like, every day.
Oh, yes, constantly.
And so if something happens, they're going to let you know it's happening.
Yes, and then we're on it. If we haven't already figured it out before we get that first phone call, we're on it as soon as we do get the call. So
you went through a process. You notified them. I mean, it wasn't your intention to blow this up in the media and make this a big political thing. You just wanted something done.
That's exactly right, and we made that crystal clear that we didn't want to cause additional problems because we knew that the department was under hardship anyway. But we did need to get it fixed. It was a law that was passed by the legislature, signed by the governor, and the state had been in violation now for 8 months of that law. And it was unfair to business and inappropriate. I mean, they would never allow a business to operate unlawfully.
No. And what's happening now? What's the status of that? Is this still in Brian Colon's hand, the state auditor?
So the state auditor has been working with LFC, Legislative Finance Council, and they are together doing kind of an investigation. And I'm on the phone with them or by email almost daily now, and I'm sending them documentation of all of our claims so that they can then do a report on how the agency has violated the law. They will take that back to the legislature. Here's an interesting thing, though. They said, we don't have jurisdiction. We can only suggest that they get in compliance. And I said, well, okay, then who does have jurisdiction? And they said, that's an interesting question. We really don't know. But we'll try to find out for you. And I said, okay, because I think a lot of people would like to know who has jurisdiction over a state agency that's breaking a law that was signed by the governor. So I still don't have an answer to that. We don't know.
But the governor was willing to send state police officers to churches and to businesses that were violating her health orders. But now that businesses have actually been, money's been taken from them illegally, the state doesn't have jurisdiction. I mean, I'm just asking the questions.
Yeah, well, and it's the same questions we ask because notice went out of these rate increases in late 2020. Then when people really got the first bill because they pay quarterly, that's when it blew up. And they're calling us, I mean, just literally night and day and on weekends. So as we're looking into this and we're like, well, what did the department tell you when you notified them? Because we've given them a mock letter to send that they can adjust to their business, telling them that the rates should not have increased. We do all of that. The department says, pay the bill and we'll reimburse you later if we find in your favor. Well, nobody has much faith in that if the agency's been in violation of the law for 9 months, that they're ever going to get this money back.
There's another agency that likes to collect taxes in excess and then tell you they're going to give you a refund. We won't talk about that. So, Carla, you're obviously advocating for business owners, but I want to step back and say, how did you decide to even form the New Mexico Business Coalition?
Well, I've always been involved with business. I'm a business owner myself, and I started looking for a business group or association that would take a really strong stance about right and wrong. I'm not saying that you can't compromise if you have good information that suggests that you compromise on an issue, but if it's blatantly wrong, like what we're seeing with Workforce Solutions, do you have the backbone to stand up to that? And I didn't find that group that I could join and support. And we did, my husband and I prayed about it a lot. We were frustrated. We were considering moving, but through prayer and asking God, what should we do? Where should we go? He directed me very clearly that I didn't need to run from the problem. I needed to stay and fix it and fight for what was right. That was the beginning of the Business Coalition.
Yeah. What a neat way to call. I'm going to move back to this legislation that you wrote for the legislature a year ago in March.
We started talking about it. We actually drafted it in May so that they could introduce it during the special session.
So we'd only been 60, maybe a little bit more than that into COVID.
Yes.
So this really was foresight. And it wasn't, you came up with the ideas, you wrote the legislation, you had input from your business owners. But, and I'm going to say this is a God thing, just because I get to do that. When you went to our legislative representatives, Democrat, Republican, almost unanimously they said, yeah, wow, what a great idea, and they passed the bill.
Yes, because if you think about it, it doesn't just impact businesses. What we saw during the Great Recession, when businesses were coming out and they got hit with these high rates, they couldn't hire. And I said, look, when the economy opens again, people need jobs. And if businesses have gone out of business or they can't afford to operate because of these high taxes, they're not going to hire. And that's why, while this is a complicated formula and it makes some people's eyes glaze over, it impacts all New Mexicans.
And it's the state of New Mexico that's collecting this money and then paying out this money toward claims.
Right.
I understand that the fund was totally depleted, obviously, for obvious reasons. You know, we lost so many people. We have such a high unemployment rate. So in our second part today, actually after the half hour, we're going to talk about the governor's ideas about how those coffers should be replenished, which is another interesting aspect to this entire discussion. I am fascinated by this. I don't know why, as a normal citizen, I feel like I'm smart enough, but I didn't know how all this works. So I'm so blessed that you're here. You're explaining this to us. We can all understand, because we do have an election coming up. There are some things we can vote for, and that includes the mayor of Albuquerque and other things. So we'll talk about that too as we move forward in today's broadcast. Carla Sontag is the founder and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition. Stay with us and you will find out all kinds of cool things coming up. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, general manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. You'll get none of the hocus pocus, hokey pokey stuff the other guys try to pull. So here's the deal. We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Come see why others rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
At Krecker Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Krecker Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. TheKreckerLawFirm.com. The C-R-E-C-C-A LawFirm.com.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air. Call Bosky and we'll be there.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage loan. Maybe you're refinancing. You might be able to lower your rate, or you're looking to purchase a new home. The team at Indigo Mortgage will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. I really appreciate Ben Lucero and his team. They help underwrite our show and all of the ministry programming here on KNKT. Carla Sontag is the founder and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition, really an advocate. I love the fact that we're talking about this unemployment insurance and how you're holding the state accountable. It'll be interesting to see who has the, quote, jurisdiction. We don't really want anybody punished. We just want it fixed, right?
That's exactly right. That's all we've ever asked. Comply with the law that was passed and under which you're supposed to be operating, and we'll all be happy.
So this legislation that you had passed in 2020 in anticipation of this problem went through the House, went through the Senate, that is the state bodies, and then the governor signed it.
That's right.
So that's pretty miraculous.
It is. It is. And I'll tell you, we got stonewalled for a while. Then we had a major breakthrough. But the bottom line is, it is law now. So yeah, we should be complying with that.
So you're now, in addition to dealing with this thing, because you have employers, your business members, calling you and saying, gee, they're taxing us too much. This isn't supposed to happen. And you jumped right on it. But I'm going to read you a quote that Republican Party Steve Pierce gave me an answer to one of my questions on this show. I asked him what we needed to do to help businesses in the state of New Mexico. Here's his response. He said, we need to open up the state and get out of the way. Government is not the answer. March 19th, 2020, you can go listen to it on abqconnect.online. And that's exactly what he said. Tell me what we need to do, Carla, in your opinion, to open up our state and make businesses successful.
Well, we need to allow businesses to operate and allow them to hire. Part of the problem, though, is our employees, the people that are collecting unemployment, have been told they don't have to search for work in order to qualify for unemployment. That needs to be lifted. They need to start looking for work. We have businesses now that are unable to operate at 100% because they cannot hire the employees to get it operating. That means the fund is continuing to drain and we're not replenishing it. If people go back to work, that fund will start taking care of itself in a lot of ways.
And let's go back to the basic rules. And I've collected unemployment at times in my life. So what you typically do, best of my memory, is that you sign up with Workforce Solutions. You weekly have to show them that you applied for jobs. And you actually have to tell them who those people are and who you called and the contact information, everything. There's a little bit of accountability. Or you don't get certified to get paid the following week.
Right.
Those requirements were lifted during COVID.
Yes.
What's the reason they would not be reinstated now that people are trying to hire and people jobs are available?
That's the question of the day, because at the beginning, you can understand there was no work to look for. So people couldn't put down anything that they had checked on. There was nothing open. But things are opening, and we would open more. We tried to have an event at a facility. They're not holding events because they can't get employees to work.
Wow. This is all just, it's overwhelming to me. So your website is nmbizcoalition.org. So nmbizcoalition.org. It's really got a lot of information on it.
It does.
You have initiatives that you're taking. Tell us a little bit more about the website and what our listeners can obtain in terms of information from the website.
Well, the reason that we have individuals that support us as well as business owners is because we do a lot of work that impacts them. So we look at, for example, we were involved in the federal level opening up trade with the USMCA. That benefits everybody in our state. We're also looking at safety with the police. We're looking at how are we going to open the state. You know, we told the governor after she shut down, what's the plan to reopen? She didn't have one. I wrote one for her. And I said, here's a plan. I'm not saying that this is the perfect plan, but it's a starting place. Can we start having this discussion? We had 19 mayors adopt that plan in their cities and sent an open letter to her, encouraging her to use that plan as a basis. And this was last year. And we still don't have a plan to open the economy. It's a give and take. It's a day by day. You never know what she's going to say next about we're going to open, we're not going to open, we're green, we're yellow, you know, new colors coming on, new standards. We need a plan to open the state and let that be and get out of the way, as Pierce said. We've got to get people back to work.
Dr. Scrace, who has been representing the state of New Mexico Health Department in regard to the governor's policies and the state health department requirements for everything we're talking about, was asked in an interview by a journalist last week, actually have it on video, was asked if we are now following the science in regard to opening up the state. He did not answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
Then the journalist said something, and I'm paraphrasing, about, are you not following the science because you're afraid of the legal repercussions? Again, that's a paraphrase. And again, no answer. But it would appear to me, and I published this on Facebook because I've got data from various states. There's 15 states in the country that had no mask mandates.
Mm-hmm.
12 of those states have outperformed New Mexico in terms of frequency of COVID, death rates, and everything. And they had no mask mandates. I've brought up to our listeners that there's a couple of different schools, one that I happen to know the people very well at, and that's Hope Christian School in Albuquerque. They have been open the entire fall semester.
Mm-hmm.
Have they had some COVID cases? Yep, they have. Minimal.
Mm-hmm.
They have some protocols, some best practices. I had Terry Heisey, who's the head of school. I've known Terry for 20 plus years, maybe more, 25. Our kids went to school together. He's a very creative individual. He's a leader. I mean, how many leaders in school systems said, we're just going to be open and we're going to have best practices and we're going to figure this thing out. We're going to do everything we need to do. I think that it's been very courageous. And I asked him on the show, I said, would you be willing to share the best practices with the new APS superintendent? He said yes. Think he's gotten a call from the new APS superintendent? No.
Right.
And I'm not putting down Mr. Elder. I'm sure he's inundated with more than he ever anticipated. Maybe he did anticipate because he had a short stint as the interim superintendent. And what a huge district, and there's all kinds of feelings we all have about education in New Mexico because, again, we're at the bottom of education. We're number 50 in the country. Now, APS is not. They're kind of somewhere in the middle, but the entire state mm-hmm. is down. So I just bring this up because all of our private schools would be happy to meet with all the other educators, public or private, in this and get a plan together. They would do that. Your businesses are willing to do that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that we are failing our children by not allowing them to be in school. School is about book learning, yes, but it's also about learning social skills on how to get along, how to interact, how to be on teams together. They're missing all of that. And how does that impact them as an adult when they get into the workforce? If they haven't been properly socialized and learned how to get along with other people, learned how to work as a team, I think we're failing our children in more ways than just the educational process, because that's really part of it.
But here's the funny thing. Some schools, I mentioned Hope, have been open.
Right.
Haven't had any major outbreaks of COVID. You have one case here, isolated, one case here. You maybe take a class, like if somebody in the junior class gets sick, you take the junior class out and their teachers, you know, make them do some virtual things, you know, 14 days later or whatever the protocols are. They're back in school, but they never skip a beat.
And that to me is better science. That is practical science, because you see firsthand what's working and what's not working. And why can't we share that model with our other schools and get our kids back into them?
What is allowed now for businesses? I mean, I never can keep track of where we are. I think we're allowed in Bernalillo County to be 33% open.
Yes, and churches now 100%. Mm-hmm. Different communities are at different rates. And
one of the things I don't know, Carla, is Cliff's Amusement Park allowed to be open? Is Hinkle Mm-mm. Family Fun Center? How can those businessmen not be open? I mean, we're starting to have beautiful weather. What is the science that somebody's claiming that's keeping those businesses closed?
That's the problem. Where is the science? And what does it say? And how do you know? I mean, they were never open last season. And now here we are at their next season. They should be fully hiring right now and ready to go. They probably would be opening early May. But they're not even given the green light to start hiring. And then we go back to the hiring problem that we have. And a lot of their employment is teens. Mm. So the teens don't have jobs, right? They can do McDonald's and things like that, but they want to work at amusement parks and people want to go to them. There's no logic into why they're still closed.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. Carla, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about replenishing the unemployment fund. You're going to have to talk to us a little bit about what the governor says about that and how you'd like to see it handled. So we are with Carla Sontag. She's the president and founder of the New Mexico Business Coalition. I've been fascinated so far. I think you will, if you stay with us, you're going to find out a lot more things that you may not have known. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back. Revival AI is excited to present a once-in-a-lifetime investment opportunity for everyday Christians. Through our SEC-regulated offering at revivalai.com, you can own stock in the future of Bible design and manufacturing. From content, format, and version to custom covers, be an owner of the only tech company to give Christians the power to design a personalized Bible. For as little as $100, invest in Revival AI, a company revolutionizing the Bible industry and bringing the production of God's Word back to America. Learn more at revivalai.com. That's revivalai.com.
After a long season of fear and anxiety fueled by an endless stream of bad news, you're invited to experience still waters. Rest in the Lord's goodness and mercy as He restores our souls and calms our anxious hearts at the Sheology Spring Gathering. Restore, Calm My Anxious Heart. Saturday, May 1st, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the amphitheater at Calvary Church on Osuna in Albuquerque. Experience a full day of worship with special musical guest New Beginnings Choir. And an encouraging message from Lenya Heitzig.
You don't need another teaching. You don't need another book. You don't need another tape. You don't need another combo. What you need is to see God.
Plus a pop-up market, food trucks, photo booth, coffee and tea, tasty treats, and refreshing fellowship. Sheology's Spring Gathering. Restore. Calm My Anxious Heart. tickets available now. Details at Sheology.com.
How do you deal with sin? The first step is facing facts. Skip Heitchik gets real about sin in this hotspot.
The Bible talks about confessing your sin, right? If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So admit your sin. Take responsibility for it. Own it. Don't blame shift.
After we admit our sin, we must leave it.
That's repentance. Turn from it. Make a clean break from it. When I was a kid growing up in the Catholic Church, I sinned all week long because I could go to confession at the end of the week.
Get more teachings from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
Now, admit it, then leave it. By God's grace and God's power, make a clean break, go in the opposite direction.
Follow the Connect with Skip Heitzig podcast on Spotify. And now,
replace it. Replace it. The book of Romans talks all about that. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. Develop new activities, new habits, new disciplines.
New disciplines.
Hotspot. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Carla Sontag, the New Mexico Business Coalition. Before we talk to Carla, we need to thank Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors. They're sponsors of the programming here on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or you can reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. So, Carla, right now there's a fund that you mentioned during the break that we've borrowed. It's called the Unemployment Fund. We talked about in our first segment how that was drained by all the unemployment claims. Mm-hmm. We talked about the legislation that you helped to pen and got the legislature, both sides, both parties, signing on almost unanimously. I think there was only three dissenting votes or maybe six.
Yeah.
Everybody else was on board.
Right.
Yeah, I probably should memorize that kind of stuff, but I just know it was a landslide victory. And then the governor signs off on it. And that's not done without some pains. You got to make you feel like you owe her something every time she signs on the dotted line. But now that fund has been depleted and we've borrowed about $300 million from the federal government. So what's happening now? According to your April 13th, 2021 article, it says governor vetoes UI, unemployment fund replenishment. Tell us what that's about.
So the fund was at $700 million before the pandemic, and now we have borrowed $300 million, meaning we're down about $1 billion for unemployment. So the legislature, when they convened this last time, they put aside $300,000 to repay the debt to the feds. And the reason that they did that is because they found out while they were looking, you cannot pay interest on the debt from that fund. And it would amount to millions of dollars a year. And so they said, well, we can't do that. So we'll put $300 million in. But then they said, let's put $600 million in from this new stimulus money coming. And the governor vetoed that. And she said, you're not going to tell me how to use the federal money. I have sole discretion over that.
And by the way, this wasn't the Republican representatives telling the governor anything. This was a bipartisan legislature.
That's exactly right. And so on a bipartisan basis, they're pretty upset that she vetoed that. Our hope was then that she would do that on her own. She doesn't want to take direction from them, but she has the money. She has the discretion. Then use your discretion and do it properly and go ahead and put that $600 million back in the fund because it needs to be there. So the Business Coalition is going to have a call to action. We will have that out by tomorrow. It will be automated, asking the governor to take some of that stimulus money and put it into the fund. You know, we saw with the first round of stimulus money that came out, there were about 12 or 15 states that took all or a large portion of that stimulus money and put it directly into their unemployment fund. They didn't need to be directed. It was the right thing to do for employees and employers. We have not to date done any of that except for the $300 million that is really to cover their own case about not wanting to pay interest on that debt to the feds so that it's there to repay them. But what about business and what about employees? Continuity requires more money to be put into that fund.
Mm. Democratic Senator, State Senator Jacob Candelaria said, "Why does the governor think she has all of the answers?" Objecting to her position on this.
Yes.
So again, it's not the Republicans, it's not the Democrats, it's our legislative body in regard to business wants the governor to spend some money. Let's replenish the fund without taxing businesses.
You know, and we don't often see our legislators as a group being very friendly to business. We have some that are very pro-business. The majority really are not. But this is one thing that they agree on that needs to be done. And again, it's for employers and employees. Mm. Everybody benefits if they'll put the money into the fund. And they tried, but the governor vetoed it.
Carla, what do we need to make New Mexico competitive with states like Texas to attract more business to our state?
We've got to stop giving lip service to wanting to help business. What our state does well is provide funds like LEDA funds, economic development funds to get businesses to come here. What they don't do well is providing the opportunity for businesses to operate profitably, to grow, and to create jobs. They stop that by the excessive regulation, excessive taxation, and then doing these things that make absolutely no sense, like not abiding by a law that was passed, not putting money into a fund when you have the money available. These are things that we do that are a big deterrent, and you would not see that happening in Texas and Arizona, even in Colorado, a blue state. They really look out for businesses a lot of times because they know that's their source of revenue. So if you want a state to prosper and you want the people to do well and jobs to be created, you've got to create an environment that allows business to do just that.
What is an advantage? For example, I know a lot of people that live in Texas and they've said you go to Texas and you want to open up a store or you want to build something, going through the processes both in a municipality and at the state level is pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that they do say that New Mexico has an advantage on is our property taxes are still pretty low compared. Like you can buy a home. I'll just give an example. You can buy a 3,000 square foot home on an acre of manicured grass outside of Dallas. That house here is $700,000-$800,000.
Mm-hmm.
Property taxes, maybe 13, 14 grand a year. But in Texas, you could buy that house for 300,000, like half.
Right.
But the property taxes are higher. So they kind of have a trade-off. But it seems like states like Texas, especially during COVID, open, no shutdowns. They seem to be thriving, have a much lower unemployment rate than we have. Why don't we... I learned this in athletics, and I always have to go to basketball. Sorry, it's my limited experience. But I've often said to really successful coaches, I said, there's no secrets. You're not going to come up with a super secret offense that's going to score more points against your opponent tomorrow night. The truth is I would love to go out and show Jim Murphy's offense and defense to any coach that wants to play him in the state of New Mexico. You know why? Because Jim Murphy's kids play and are trained and have so much time on the court that they're just going to execute. And they're ball players. If you play their plays because you know what they are, they're going to take more advantage of you than if you didn't know their plays because they're going to do a counteraction and they're going to run something a little different, and they're going to score baskets anyway.
Right.
So to me, I sit back and I think about, why don't we apply these kinds of concepts to real life? There's no secrets. I'm blessed today that you said that you gave the governor a plan.
Right.
Because oftentimes you don't agree with the governor, but she's part of the team. You're not yelling at the officials, Carla. You're not complaining about her being the governor. You may do some things to the next election to see somebody else get in office, but right now she's the boss.
That's right.
And you're working with her.
You know, our policy has always been not just to identify problems, but to offer solutions. Mm. And we have never said we have the absolute end-all, be-all solution, but at least we're offering one.
Yes.
We have a starting place for the conversation. I'll tell you one of my favorite sad stories about Texas. We had a business person here that had several locations throughout the state. He decided he was very frustrated with trying to open a new location here, so he opened one in Texas. And he said, I'll never open another location in New Mexico. He said, I went to Texas. Within 1 week, I was filed, approved, open for business, and I got a call from the Secretary of State personally thanking me for opening a business in Texas. And he said, I still have a location pending in New Mexico 8 months, and I can't get it open, and it's not my first location. So that's the difference between do you really want business to operate or do you not?
Business owners need to know how to become part of the New Mexico Business Coalition.
Yes, and we would welcome you. We would love to have you. You can join at our website, nmbizcoalition.org. And once you become a member, you'll automatically get our calls to action. And these are automated within less than a minute. You can sign on and send a letter to the governor. It's already pre-addressed. Change the letter however you want, but it takes so little time. And we have her very hard-to-find email address, so it will go directly to her, and you can voice your opinion.
And you probably have that for legislators and other people that are part of the process.
We do, from local government all the way up to federal level. When we do a call to action, you can be a part of it. It takes very little of your time. You can voice your opinion and truly make a difference. So NMBiz Coalition, you can join us, nmbizcoalition.org, or call our office anytime, 505-836-4223. We'd love to have you join us. We do not accept government funding, nor will we ever apply for it. So we are funded completely by voluntary contributions and dues.
And you can go to the website and give securely. Talk to a 19-year-old that's registered to vote about why they should be part of the New Mexico Business Coalition and why they should vote, most importantly.
It's very important to get involved and to really understand the issues. We provide a lot of information that I'll tell you I was once very ignorant of. I would go to vote and I didn't know some of the candidates. I didn't know some of the issues. Well, we take care of that for you. You're going to have a one-stop shop to really learn about the issues. We are nonpartisan. We'll give you good information, and we'll give you links to verify what we're telling you. And then you can make an informed decision and vote.
Carl, I'm going to ask you about House Joint Resolution 1, and that's different than a bill, which I want you to explain to us, but HJR 1, House Joint Resolution 1 was a bill that was passed and approved by the governor to, again, take money out of the permanent fund for early childhood education programs. Why are you concerned about that?
Well, because it'll go to the voters, and a lot of times voters don't know the ins and outs of that. This fund is one that is set up in perpetuity to provide for education and some hospitals. It was predefined at the time New Mexico became a state. Any economist will tell you, if you take 5% out of that fund, any fund, every year, it will continue to grow and provide for future generations. We're now looking at taking out, we're at 5% now. They want to take another 1.5% out, so 6.5%. What that means is, as the economy does its ups and downs, the fund will as well. But we will start eroding into the basis of that fund, and eventually we're going to be in trouble. That fund is primarily, the receipts coming in are from oil and gas. They're simultaneously trying to shut down our oil and gas industry. So they're limiting the money that will flow in while they're taking more of the money out. Eventually, we're talking generations down the road, kids won't have the money that they need for the schooling that they deserve.
Now, let's clarify. There are a lot of private oil and gas companies that are leasing federal land in New Mexico or New Mexico state land, and the money from those leases goes into this fund. and it's supposed to be used for education.
Right.
And now we're taking out more than our fair share. We're taking out more than we should in order to see, even with the best investment advisors, you can't keep up with the amount of money being taken out. It's just like a personal savings account. You know,
right.
If you want to do the math, we're talking about billions of dollars instead of $100 like in my account. But the bottom line is that's not difficult to understand once you think about it. Here's a question for you. I've heard people tell me, and these are people that are not thinking through it, that the legalization of marijuana and the taxes that we're going to get from that are going to make up for all these oil and gas lease losses. How do you think the legalization of marijuana is going to affect New Mexico business?
It's going to be highly detrimental. I mean, first of all, you're going to have problems with how you are testing. They say that they will provide the ability for you to have a drug-free workforce. Well, how do you do that if marijuana is legal and there isn't a good testing procedure for it? But, you know, the other thing I was just thinking about this weekend, in the law, it states any individual in New Mexico can grow up to 6 plants. If an individual's growing their own, I don't know how they think this is going to be this multi-billion dollar industry that is going to provide lots and lots of money to the state. I just don't see it happening. They are not taking into account the increased crime rate, the DUIs that we're going to encompass. It increases suicides, hospitalization, emergency room visits, all of these run up state costs and individual costs. I don't see the money coming in for that. But going back to the permanent fund, here's the kicker on that. Advocates have said for years, we just need more money in education. But, you know, we have increased funding for education 300% over the last decade or so. Have our results changed with all that increased funding?
No, they haven't. In fact, your friend Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation said to me a week ago, he said, we are paying per student in the Albuquerque Public Schools, $18,500 per student is being allocated for education. That's the average if you take an average across all students.
And then you look at the results. Look at the graduation rates across the board. Look at the dropout rate. Look at the children that can't read or do arithmetic when they get out of school. We're failing our students, and it's not about money.
Well, Carla, we've got only one more segment. We could actually talk another 2 hours and not cover everything we have on our list. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Carla Sontag.
We just had to stay committed to getting through those early years.
For Family Life Blended, here's Ron Deal.
Jay made that comment on a live radio broadcast I was on talking about successful stepfamilies. And he's right. One quality of blended families who do well is stubborn persistence through those early rough years. His wife, Lori, shared another. I had to give up my agenda of fixing my stepkids, she said. She had what I like to call eager mom syndrome. She was too focused on getting mom-like respect and love rather than building a strong relationship. Both Jay and Lori made adjustments to their expectations and led their family through. Now, 15 years later, they talk about how much their 8 kids love each other. For Family Life Blended, I'm Ron Deal.
To find out more, visit FamilyLifeBlended.com.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Authorities in a Laotian village threatened a local pastor at gunpoint after he made plans to enlarge his home to accommodate more than 130 people who had gathered for Sunday worship. Officials insisted that members of the congregation renounce their faith, and the pastor sign a document agreeing to close his house church. But all refused, announcing they would never deny Jesus Christ. Bravely standing on faith, the pastor told authorities he was willing to go to jail. A VOM contact reported this pastor and his church members have only been Christians for 1 year, yet they are facing tremendous persecution. Please pray for them.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence.
Nor will I let them serve alone.
To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians,
go to VOMradio.net. Knowing God from Harvest America with pastor and evangelist Greg Laurie.
Now, I've always been a fan of Johnny Cash. You know, he was a very interesting character because to a lot of sinners, Johnny was a saint. And to a lot of saints, they thought this guy was a sinner. Well, the reality is he was both. Johnny was a believer in Jesus Christ. And he used his platform to proclaim his faith in Christ. He actually, many people don't know this, I've discovered this in researching his life, he became an ordained minister and was a great student of Scripture. But having said all of that, Johnny struggled in life. And he struggled through a good portion of his life. In fact, he said it of himself, and I quote, I confess right up front that I'm the biggest sinner of them all, but my faith in God has always been a solid rock that I've stood on, no matter where I was or what I was doing. I was a bad boy at times, but God was always there for me, and I knew that, and I guess maybe I took advantage of that, end quote. Now you say, Greg, why write a book about a guy like that? Because he represents a lot of people out there right now that just struggle. There are some of you here that believe in Jesus and you've put your faith in Jesus, but you're a little bit more like, well, Johnny Cash was. You struggle and you keep falling back to these same sins over and over again, but you don't want to live that way anymore. You want to make a commitment or a recommitment to Christ. No matter what you've done, He'll forgive you, but you must come to Him.
You were created to know God. Find out how to begin a relationship with Him by going to knowgod.org. Already know God? Invite a friend or family member to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Answers to questions about the Christian faith, instructions for growing in your relationship with the Lord, and video messages from Pastor Greg Laurie can all be found at knowgod.org.
We are back with Carlos Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition. Carlos, the founding president, and I guess you're nowhere near turning over the reins to the next president. You're right in your prime, aren't you?
You know, I've asked my board a couple of times if they'd like to fire me, and they, you know, if they would take over my job. No takers, so.
Well, I like the fact, again, I want to reiterate that if you want to be part of the New Mexico Business Coalition, it will really help your business because you are an advocate. You have some of your business owners, it sounds like, participate in some of the things that you put in front of the legislature and in front of the governor.
We do. And because we make the system so easy and automated and it's so quick, you can get involved for a minute of your time. It's pretty easy. You can sign up for our emails at nmbizcoalition.org. There's no obligation to join us, but we hope that with you, when you're with us for a while and you see the value of our work, that maybe it'll be a good investment for you because our work is funded completely by voluntary contributions and dues.
And business owners absolutely need to be looking at this because you're advocating for everybody. If you have a Democrat business owner, they're going to be blessed to be part of the coalition just like a Republican.
Independent, libertarian, we don't care.
Okay.
We care about you as an individual and how we can help you.
All right. We don't have a lot of time, but I want you to be as thorough as you can about this. City of Albuquerque needs to be business friendly. A lot of people say it's not. We have a mayoral election coming up. I want to talk to you about three candidates that we now have a couple more that have announced they're running. But Tim Keller, the incumbent mayor right now, Sheriff Manuel Gonzalez III, and Nicholas Bevins, and Patrick Ben Seiss have all announced prior to last week. Tell us, are any of these candidates more pro-business than another?
Well, you know, I think that Manny would certainly be an improvement because he's very focused on the crime rate, because that is a huge deterrent to business. Bevins, he is not going to be friendly to business at all. He is all about increasing mandates, minimum wage, and all of that. Seiss, we don't know as much about him. He's a retired school bus driver. He's tired of the crime in particular, and that's what motivated him to get involved. And then we understand that Eddie Aragon also is running. He's a radio personality, and he is conservative. I think that he would be pro-business. Manny Gonzalez, not just on safety, but he is very reasonable. He has shown that he'll work with anyone. I mean, he worked with Trump administration when that was a big no-no for him.
Well, here's what's interesting about what you're saying. He was on the show about 3 weeks ago. He did tell us he was considering a run for mayor. Now he's officially announced. But I asked him specifically about bringing in federal government people like Homeland Security and the FBI. And, of course, his own party, for example, Martin Heinrich, said that he should immediately resign because everything was Trump, 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 Trump. Oh, you're bringing in Trump's, you know, military force. Well, of course, all he was really doing is bringing in expert law enforcement at the federal level. And Manuel Gonzalez refused to politicize that. He told us that right here on the program. He said, look, I'm not going to get involved in the politics. I went to Washington and I met with these individuals. Did I say hello to Donald Trump? Yes. Wow. Why is that a bad thing?
Right.
Why don't we all glean what we can from each other? Both parties, three parties, whatever it is. People have input. We learn, we change, we you know, do what's best for all of us. So that's what he did. He told us that he brought in these federal authorities. And here's the interesting thing that I observed. This was, of course, was right when George Floyd had been killed. And I will say that it is a tragedy that George Floyd was killed. Now, will those actions, of course, the police officer was just recently convicted of murder, and that's going to continue to go through the court systems and all these other things. Can something good come out of bad? Well, yes, it can. But not if you politicize it.
That's exactly right.
So if you allow people to walk down Central and break out windows in our fair city and do all these different things, that's crime.
Yes.
That's not what peaceful protesters. Here's what's fascinating to me. A man that I think did a God thing in the civil rights movement, Dr. Martin Luther King, had thousands, if not millions of people that were spit on and cussed at and treated terribly, and he trained them to passively resist.
Right.
They didn't loot and pillage. I have to just say, that was a God thing. And that is what changed civil rights in this country. Now,
yes.
Is it perfect? Do we still have bigotry? Yes, we have all of that. But rioting, I can't remember the verse, but it says, the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God.
That's right.
And that's true for all of us. So I'm just bringing up that I think that Sheriff Manuel Gonzalez, at least I've talked with him, and he's come in and he's suggested that he would cooperate with federal authorities, which now is not a problem because Joe Biden's the president.
Exactly.
Right? But when Donald Trump was the president, it's evil incarnate that he would do that, at least according to the progressives in our state. I think that he would have a plan or does have a plan, and I'm going to have him on the show here in 2 weeks. So
good.
I'm glad you commented about that. Now, we've got 1 minute left. So, how about the CD1, the Congressional District 1, Republican nominee Mark Moores against Republican Melanie Stansberry and Libertarian Chris Manning? Who's more pro-business?
Moores was rated A by the Business Coalition for Business Friendliness. Stansberry, a Democrat, she received a rating of D. This is based on their votes in the legislature. So it's not our conjecture. You can go and look at how we did the rating and what bills we were looking at. You've got Aubrey Dunn also is running as an independent former land commissioner. He completed a survey because we don't have legislative votes, A rated. Manning, Libertarian, he's going to be interesting, but he is better than some.
Yeah. Carla, last question. Is it helpful for our listeners to be part of the Business Coalition, and will it help our state?
Absolutely. We have more power with numbers, and we would welcome you to be with us because they listen to us at the Business Coalition, in the legislature, and at the federal government. So be a part of something big.
Lots more to ask you, Carla, so I have to ask you to come back next month. Thanks for being with us.
I would love to. Thank you.
Q Connect is
presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.